Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm beginning this show in order to continue to spread the word about PTSD service dogs in general, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and just various aspects of service dog life.
How do you deal with the adversity that can occur when somebody objects to the presence of your service dog?
Focus on your dog.
A service dog cannot be a protector. Many handlers don't know what they can't do.
The Service Dog Show with PTS Dog right here on WDVR DV Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm joined here today by Aaron and Stephanie Voris and Leah Patterson, all of whom were involved in an incident that ended up in the news but was grossly misrepresented. Before we get started, I need to talk a little about what you're listening to. DV Radio, WDVR. DV Radio is for veterans by veterans, and you can listen to veteran-produced shows right here, such as The Struggle Brothers Show, Mondays at 8 p.m. That's DV Radio, WDVR. All right, so on June 21st, a story was posted on a Nashville area website, WSMV.com. And the headline is Service Dog Kicked Out of Nashville Pub. I'm not going to call out the name of the reporter, but I am going to say that she was very misinformed about the ADA. And the bent of this article is, well, it's pretty negative towards Stephanie and Aaron Voris and Aaron's service dog, Harvey. Originally, when I read this article, the way it is written, it had all the hallmarks of somebody trying to fake their way in with a pet. That is definitely not the case. Is it, Aaron and Stephanie?
No. And Harvey has actually been, you know, certified. Was like almost 4 years now as a service dog.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's make clear, certification is not required by the Americans with Disabilities Act. However, the organization that you worked with to train Harvey, which is TADSAW, does certify that you went through the course and did all of the training. Also in the show today is Leah Patterson, who is Harvey's trainer from TADSAW. Leah, thank you for coming and joining us.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
So, Stephanie and Aaron, I'd like to hear the story in your words, please.
All right. I'll let Aaron start and I'll fill in.
All right. What had happened is we had to go to Nashville for one of my doctor's appointments. And, you know, ironically, it was, you know, for neurology.
June 7th.
But after all that was finished, we decided we wanted to go to McNamara's.
I wasn't sure if we could say the restaurant name. I apologize.
Oh, it's fine. It's out there in the news. Let's throw them under the bus.
Okay. Go ahead, Aaron. Sorry. I apologize.
We went to McNamara's, you know, to get some food. And the moment we actually stepped in, he came out of nowhere from behind me. And he asked if Harvey was a service dog, and I said yes. And then he asked, you know, what specific task does he do? And I told him, he helps me with walking, and he helps me with, he assists with cognitive disabilities.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's, when he said, you know, they don't, the ADA does not recognize, you know, cognitive disabilities as disabilities or like that. But you know, it was funny that while he kept repeating that same thing, he said, you know, I've spoken to people, but he wouldn't say the people that he spoke to. And after he just kept saying the same thing, Stephanie was getting annoyed, and by that time, you know, I was getting annoyed, so I pretty much just told, you know, Stephanie, and you know, a lot less of nicer words to let's get out of here.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty much what happened. We got in the car, and that's when she called
the ADA.
Yeah, that's when she called the ADA, and they told her to seek an attorney.
Mm-hmm.
Can I fill in some blanks?
Absolutely. And to start with, let's explain a little. Aaron's disability, he suffered from 4 traumatic brain injuries. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. So, Aaron, thank you so much for joining us. And believe me, I understand it can be very difficult to put thoughts together. So take your time. It's not gonna bother anybody listening. We want to hear what your story is. But go ahead, Stephanie, and describe the situation.
So essentially, as Aaron stated, we had walked in the door, and he literally came out of nowhere. We were not even permitted to approach the stand. He kept us about 10 feet back from with just his body language and where he stops. And asked the questions, and Aaron answered them. And that was when he said that the ADA did not recognize cognitive disabilities for service animals and for a task. And so Aaron explained, no, he assists me with my cognitive disability because, and Aaron does not need to be telling anyone his disabilities. That's against the ADA. But Aaron was just trying to be kind and educate the guy. He listened and said, this is what he does. Mm-hmm. I have balance issues because of my TBI. I also have... Sorry, I'm upset.
Oh, it's okay. Understandably.
He said, I also know, you know, he lacks peripheral vision. Mm-hmm. Man, I cannot see outside of my peripheral. And so he helps me with balance, and he helps alert me to people around me. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm sorry, but the ADA does not recognize cognitive disabilities. It's not this circle. It was just this circle. And so I got angry, and I said, listen, he has 4 TBIs. Harvey is a service dog that assists him with his TBI disabilities. He would not listen. And so I did offer up. I did. I said, look, I have paperwork to show that Harvey is here because of his disability. And I know that paperwork is not, you know, we don't have to give anything, nor do we have to have a vest. We don't have to have a vest on the dog. I know what Harvey, you know, what it is. Mm-hmm. I just wanted the man to recognize my husband's disabilities. And so I recognized that. I went overboard, and I did something that the service dog community is pretty upset with me for. I would have never done that. This has been 3 years, and we've never had anyone like this. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I did do something that I, you know, shouldn't have done. It's not illegal, but I shouldn't have done it, and I apologize to the service dog community. But please understand, I was trying to validate my husband's disabilities.
Now, first of all, I'm going to tell you, as one of the people who, reading the story, said... Holy cow, they offered paperwork. I'm going to apologize to you, okay? One of the hallmarks of the people who fake it is they go online and they order certification or ID cards or registry, and there are all these sites out there that sell these things, and the ADA is very clear that that's not necessary. So when a news story says proffered, you know, certification, red flags automatically go off. But that goes back to the issue with the press and their really poor abilities to reflect the actualities of the ADA. I've seen very few articles dealing with this kind of a denial of service, denial of access event that reflect the ADA accurately in any way, shape, or form. Especially around the whole airlines issue and the emotionally support animals and all the stuff going on with Delta right now, about 90% of the articles completely miss the actual laws. So, As a trained journalist, that's what I did in the military. I have to apologize on behalf of the press because, man, they screw it up regularly. And it hurts veterans. And this is exactly, a case in point where a veteran was unjustly challenged. The guy thought he knew more than the actual service dog handler. And instead of listening to the disabled person, he decided to kick you out. And that's horrible. And I really, really feel for you. I've had these kind of challenges before. Never publicly in a restaurant to that degree. But what a terrible, terrible situation.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to talk about the media. I want to talk about how we can make education better for these reporters. One of the most useful tools we have is the ADA's Service Animal Q&A. I mean, if a reporter would take 10 minutes to sit down and read this, it's available at ada.gov/regs2010/service_animal_QA.html. It's easy. Google ADA Service Animal Q&A. It pops up. There are apps that you can carry around on your phone. ADA Pause is one that pops up the regulation immediately. It pops up the Q&A. These are such simple tools. But the media is all about sensationalizing this with the airline stuff going on, with the fake service dog problem, at the grocery stores and things. They jump immediately to, this guy brought in this dog and blah, 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 instead of looking at the truth of the situation, looking at the facts. Aaron, in general, when somebody comes and you're trying to enter a store, in general, when they ask you the questions, how do you respond?
What questions are you talking about?
Is that a service dog required because of a disability?
Yeah, well... I mean, they asked those questions, and I said, yes, he's a service dog. Mm-hmm. And usually, that's it.
Okay. So when I ask, what tasks is he trained to perform?
I usually, what I tell them is he assists me with walking and, cognitive disabilities. Mm-hmm. And I say cognitive disabilities because I have multiple mm-hmm. Disabilities that have to do with cognition.
Mm-hmm. Related to the TBI.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's not, it's more like I just don't want to stand there and have to name off every.
Well, you absolutely do not have to sit there and give them a laundry list of your disabilities. The ADA is very clear about that. They're not allowed to ask you.
Right. That's correct.
They need to. If me as a store owner comes to you and says, is that a service dog? You say yes, and I ask what tasks, and you say, well, he helps me with balance and walking.
That's it.
That defines it under the ADA right there. Now, of course, Harvey is your service dog. During all of this, I'm certain Harvey was perfectly well behaved.
Yes.
And that's that. Yeah, I guess. Go ahead.
We get asked all the time, about his training because of his behavior. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, they're just like, I can't believe that, the dog is behaving that well. Mm-hmm. I've even had people, tell me, like, your dog behaves better than my children.
Which leads me to Leah Patterson, who is the Tadsaw trainer who trained Aaron and Harvey together. And Leah, let's talk a little bit about some of the challenges you worked through with Aaron in training Harvey.
Well, I'll start with Harvey is one of the most mellow husky mixes I've ever met. Mm-hmm. He is really well behaved and sweet and really loves Aaron. Aaron is his person and he's willing to do anything for him. Mm-hmm. When I first started with them, and when I start with all of my veterans, the first task they learn is medication. So to remind the veteran to take their medication daily at a certain specific time. That is considered a task by the ADA. And it's the first one I teach all of my PTSD dogs, because every single one of my veterans takes at least one pill a day, if not even more than that. Or they have emergency medication for when they have panic attacks. The dog learns to bring them that medication during those periods. Harvey was, from the beginning, he took to training perfectly. He learned all of his basics, and I think 3 or 4 weeks, he had watched me leave it, sit, down, stay, come, heel, and loose leash walking. And he learned a couple tasks, like the medication and checking around the corner to make sure no one's coming when he's walking through Walmart, so he didn't have somebody run into him right as he's walking by an aisle. Harvey will check the aisles and do a block to stop him if somebody is coming, or he'll return back to a heel and continue walking by.
And again, that is because Aaron has trouble with peripheral vision due to his injuries.
Yes, and some of my veterans, if they have real bad startle effects where somebody comes out of nowhere, then we will teach the dog to check the aisles for them. So they walk with, they're still at a heel, but their rear end is where the leg is to the veteran. And the dog looks at the aisle and then return back to a heel, or check the aisle, and if somebody's coming, they block. It kind of lets the veteran know that there's somebody coming down that aisle and you're about to run face-to-face into somebody, you know.
Perfect.
Excuse me. But, I don't know if they want me telling you the disability, but we spoke about it just before we connected with you, and Aaron had some seizures when we first started, and Harvey picked up on his seizures right away, and quite a few of my veterans do have epilepsy, and that's one of the biggest ones that they learn the quickest, is to pick up when the veteran's about to have a seizure. And they'll do a block and make sure they get to a secure spot, whether it's on the floor or to a chair.
That's Harvey fantastic. Was great,
but Aaron's been doing really well and hasn't had a seizure in a few years, so he didn't even think to say he's my seizure alert dog, which again would have stopped the restaurant from pursuing anymore. We're kind of like saying PTSD or seizure alert dog, I mean, you're still giving away your medical disability, which is really none of anybody's business. But at the same time, because we do have so many dogs that people are just wanting to take their dog in public with them, you have to have people that ask questions. They just need to go about it a different way. You know, they need to be trained in how to approach these people, because, you know, as with PTSD, it can send you into a rampage that you just can't come back out of.
Right.
I was telling Aaron and Stephanie about one of my other veterans who winded up dropping out of the program because of the first confrontation he had. It was a bad, bad confrontation in the middle of the mall. And it took me months to get this man to walk into the mall. Just to be able to walk through the doors. We trained outside just to get him comfortable with it before I ever got him to go in the doors. And we trained for 6 to 8 months at the mall before I was ready to accredit their dog. And he was waiting for me to come back and do our public access temperament test. And he was approached by security stating that the housekeeper said he was blocking the doorway. And by the time I got back there, I'm like, where the heck did he go? He was out in the car in a full-blown rampage. Punching the steering wheel, screaming and yelling, and by the time I got out there, I had to calm him back down, and then I had to go into the mall to figure out what happened with that situation, you know. And it turned out to be a big misunderstanding. They actually fired the housekeeper over it, because it wasn't even him who was blocking the door. Supposedly, it was me and a female veteran that we were standing in front of the bathroom as the guy was coming through, and I said, oh, watch out. Then we moved to the side. But he had called security and said that we had blocked the door. You know, we do run into issues like this where we do have some confrontations, and some of the veterans drop out of the program because they can't handle those confrontations with explaining what their dog does and when they get told they have to leave or move out of the way or something like that. So it's something we try to do with the veteran also, is to teach them how to handle those situations and make sure that they don't get asked more than those two questions, mm-hmm. and how to answer those questions properly.
Yes, absolutely.
Most of the time I tell my veterans, you know, say it's my medical alert service dog. He's trained many different tasks to assist me with my medical disability. Mm-hmm. And that should be enough to let them go, because they shouldn't have to say, oh, you know, he gets my medicine for me. He turns on the light, wakes me up during a nightmare. He lets me know when somebody's walking up behind me, which is the basic task that I train all of my PTSD service dogs. Mm-hmm. They may learn other ones, and like my TBI veterans, I have several veterans who can't find their car in a crowded parking lot. We teach the dogs to find the car.
Mm-hmm.
One veteran, after 3 hours of walking around the Opryland Mall parking lot, he called me and he says, I can't find my car. We got to train Kaiser to find my car. And I told him, I said, grab the handle of the leash and say, Kaiser, let's go home. And Kaiser walked him all the way through that parking lot and stopped at his truck.
Wow.
You know, it, trusting in the dog and that you guys do have a good connection. And then we trained from there. And after that, we started teaching Kaiser. Let's go home means take him out of the building and straight to the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't matter if we exited another door or not. Kaiser would always find the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
But each dog has to be trained. I'm a little particular. Like, okay, I want at least 3 tasks with each of my service dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And I do get some people that are like, well, they just make me feel good being there. Well, that's not a task. We have to teach them something that actually helps you and is considered a task for everyday life.
Mm-hmm.
Comforting is not a task. So we always tell them to ever use comfort as a task. You know, it's the other things that they're trained to do, like alert you to somebody coming up behind you or coming down the aisle around the corner. Or your medications, because every single one of them takes medications. The dog, that's the first task they learn, is to remind them to take that medicine every single day at the same time.
Mm-hmm. That's fantastic. Thank you, Leah. You're listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai. I'm here with Aaron and Stephanie Forrest and Leah Patterson. We're talking about an incident they had in Nashville recently, being refused service at a restaurant. We will be right back after this break on WDVR.
DV Radio.
You've been hearing from me about my book for the past 2 years on DV Radio. Now you can order a copy of PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and The Service Dog. Check it out on booklocker.com, barnesandnoble.com, and amazon.com. If you choose to purchase the book on Amazon, please consider using smile.amazon.com and picking the DV Farm as your charity of choice. Buy your copy of PTS Dog, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and The Service Dog today, only at booklocker.com, barnesandnoble.com, and amazon.com.
Ever shop online at smile.amazon.com? Why not give back to the DV Farm by making it your charity of choice? No extra fees or hidden costs, and a portion of your purchase goes directly towards the DV Farm, located in Gilsum, New Hampshire, and helping to continue its mission. That's smile.amazon.com, and be sure DV Farm is your charity of choice. For more information about the DV Farm, please go to dvfarm.org.
MyDVStore.com, bid and will begin with item 69-1776. Can I get stickers?
Yep.
I got a Gilbert Country decal. Who here a t-shirt? Anyone with a t-shirt?
Yep.
Let me get a bacon eating god, a crazy bastard t-shirt.
Yep.
Now I got a mug, DV mugs, I got mugs. Let me hear DV Farm Coin with DV Coins. DV Farm Coins with DV Coins. Gone once, gone twice. Sold to MyDVStore.com.
Let's get it on.
We got some food red made for you.
The music.
Let's go!
You're listening to WDVR on DVRadio.net. 5 veterans, 4 veterans.
Simply made for you.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing the book, it is available now at booklocker.com/books/9895.html. That's the book PTS Dog, Post Traumatic Stress Disorder, and the Service Dog, available now at booklocker.com. You can also find it at Barnes & Noble and on amazon.com. We're here once again with Aaron and Stephanie Voris and TADSAW trainer Leah Patterson. And I'd like to talk a bit about how life has changed for you and Stephanie, Aaron. You've suffered some very serious injuries, 4 traumatic brain injuries. It's obviously had some very detrimental effects on your health. How were things before you started to work with Leah and train Harvey?
Well, we didn't exactly know what was going on, you know, with me. I mean, my injuries were still fresh and the VA was still trying to figure out what was going on. I would be in like extreme amounts of pain like all the time, like from when I woke up to when I go to bed. And so I got really heavy into alcohol. And I almost lost my marriage and everything. Like we were saying, when I would have like seizure attacks, you know, I would black out completely. And, the police knew, you know, Stephanie by name. And as soon as, you know, she called, like seven police officers would be immediately at the door. And it was because, you know, once I got the, when I would black out, I would do, you know, what I was doing when I got the injuries. And, you know, the last thing I was doing, I was in a firefight. So I'd become very, very hostile. Mm-hmm. I would also get, you know, lost in places very, very easily. I couldn't remember, where the car was parked. I couldn't remember a lot. And since we got Harvey, all of that changed. He can sense when I'm, when I'm about to black out, and he'll pull me away from the situation. Mm-hmm. Me and Stephanie have actually, gone hiking, Burgess Falls? In a place called Burgess Falls. We went a pretty ways in there, probably about like 2.5, maybe 3 miles in. And, I took Harvey off the leash and he would lead it back to the Jeep, if that said thing. Mm-hmm. So it's been my quality of life with Harvey and my wife has been like a major, major change.
Stephanie?
Yes.
What would you, from your perspective, can you give me a little before and after?
I can. We met Leah and started training with Harvey around the same time that Aaron's fugue state were at the worst. He did have seizures, which were different, obviously, than a fugue state. And of course, Harvey was being trained to help with those seizures. But the fugue states are certainly more, as you know, PTSD related, according at least to what VA researchers know right now. But my husband, He went through a year of Veterans Treatment Court, and because of a blackout with PTSD, and there was no alcohol. He was being trained with Harvey, and Harvey was by his side through Veterans Treatment Court. He actually was pretty popular because he's cute, but anyway, he's good. But Aaron has, for the most part, quit drinking. When I say for the most part, he actually quit drinking for 2 years. And then, here lately has been like wanting to be able to have a beer with dinner to not be a weirdo. Right? Mm-hmm. But he's been doing very, very well. And as far as Harvey keeps him calm, but I can tell you one situation where there was a young man who was sneaking up behind us. We were in a mall. And there was a young man sneaking up behind us, and he had no bad intentions. He wanted to pet the dog, but didn't bother to tell any of us he was coming our way, and would have scared Aaron to death. And Harvey luckily let out one bark, which is what he's been trained to do if someone gets within about 5 feet of us and we're not aware. And so we turned, and the young man was scared, and we said, you know, we're so sorry that Harvey scared you, but you can't sneak up on us. And so, you know, things like that that keep us from having really bad incidents, you know, a fugue state of the mall probably avoided that day because Harvey was able to alert us if something was sneaking behind.
I don't think that people realize that in situations like that where you're unaware and the dog's alerts aren't working, if the dog has to escalate, one bark is an acceptable alert. It even says so in the ADA. That is not out of control. And people, yes. Well, your dog barked. Well, the dog was alerted.
No, it was one. And it was,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Now, if the dog went crazy, that's a different story. But one bark to alert is not a big deal. It is perfectly acceptable according to the ADA.
That to, and we explained that to the young man. He understood. But, you know, he had innocent intentions. People, so many people are ignorant to the fact that Harvey's working. And so he's sneaking up, you know, like, oh, maybe I'll get a chance to pet this dog. I mean, like I said, when I say young man, I'm talking adolescent, okay?
Yeah.
You know, brain still forming and learning, yes, you know.
A kid, yeah.
To do something. But, yeah. But needless to say, you know, that we educated him that day, and that was really bad.
Aaron, how do you handle challenges? How do you, I mean, speaking from myself, from a before and after aspect, the rage attacks, the panic, the crippling panic attacks that I would have out in public. I mean, things were so different than they are now. How do you see yourself growing and recovering?
I know that, you know, I'm never going to be able to like turn that off, but with Harvey and, you know, Stephanie there, I'm certainly more able to handle, you know, crowds. I mean, you know, without Harvey, you know, I wouldn't be able to go. And, you know, I wouldn't be able to go into the mall because there's so many people there. It reminded me of walking through a bazaar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and during that time, you know, we were in a pretty highly kinetic area. So at any moment, one of the insurgents could, you know, fire at us and go around the corner and be right back into the bazaar again. We wouldn't be able to see them. So it's very, very nerve wracking to try to walk through people. But, you know, it got to the point where, you know, I'm not a very good judge of character to a person where, you know, I don't see the good in people anymore. When someone comes my way, I immediately look for a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, having Harvey, we have, you know, developed an understanding to the point to where, you know, when someone gets close to me, Harvey, I'm out. And then he will turn back to me and, you know, let me know that this person is okay. You don't have to be, you know, hostile or getting ready, you know, to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And Aaron takes a college class here where we're at, Cookville. And, you know, we've not had any incidents of him getting lost on campus. He took a class back in Clarksville before he had Harvey. And the director ended up writing a letter to the VA on our behalf because he would approach Aaron and Aaron would literally be lost in just the one building that was the campus there. We're not talking about Austin Peay, just a little community college.
Mm-hmm.
And it concerned him greatly. And he was a veteran, too. So, you know, he kind of wanted to help. And so now, you know, we've not had an incident with Aaron getting lost because he has someone who has been trained by Leah to help him to that next location. So it's just been a lifesaver. I mean, there's no way that I could work. I could work now. I had to be at home as a caregiver, you know, before Harvey came along, and now I'm content that I can work because Harvey is at home. Make sure he takes his medication to, you know, to keep him alert. Mm-hmm. Helpful.
Yeah. Now, Aaron, you touched on something, and I'm actually gonna address this question to Leah. The bond that you've created with Harvey, that teamwork, that partnership, that's a big factor of my book is trying to really emphasize how important that bond is. Leah, as the trainer who helped work together with Aaron and Harvey, what does that bond between the dog and the handler mean?
It definitely means everything. If we don't see them really connecting after 2 or 3 weeks of training, then we say it may not be a good fit. Mm-hmm. Now, Harvey, they found before they came to me, and mm-hmm. I temperament tested him, said, you know, I normally don't train huskies. Huskies aren't loyal, blah, blah, blah. I've owned huskies, lots of them, and they're not that great as being loyal dogs, you know, but Harvey took straight to the job and knew exactly Aaron was his person. You know, if I'm there with the treats and doing the training, he chose Aaron over me all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I want to see. I want to see a dog who doesn't care about somebody else offering food and things like that. They're looking to their owner on, should I listen to them, you know? Mm-hmm. Which most of the time when I do training, I show them a couple things on how to get the dog to sit or how to get them to lay down or do a cover, you know, and then I give them the treats and I have them work on it, and they work on it for a week, and then we come back and we do it something new.
Right.
And every week when Harvey would come back, I was just amazed with how quick he was picking everything up and how attached to Aaron he was. It didn't matter if he was in a group of 10 other veterans with their dogs. Harvey chose Aaron every time. He mm-hmm. didn't choose to go mingle with the other dogs or socialize with all the people. It was always checking to see with Aaron if it was okay if he said hello to somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. It's absolutely the way it's supposed to be. Aaron, I have Skeeter, who is an Alaskan Malamute, so I'm very familiar with some of the challenges of training a snow dog. And it's pretty exciting that Harvey's such an exceptional example of a husky. And you said he's a husky mix?
Yes, husky, yes. German Shepherd mix.
Oh, wow. So he's got some size to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I tell you, our four-legged partners, people scoff, but especially for veterans with PTSD, TBI, hearing issues, that dog becomes your battle buddy. It becomes your backup. He's got your six, and people don't realize how important that is. You don't have a guy, you know, in gear with a rifle behind you, but you do have your dog, and you learn that the dog is more than capable of covering your back, and it's a life-changing thing. It really is, and it's something I work so hard to try to get people to understand. So I want to just kind of wrap up again why we're here and what we're talking about. And then we'll talk about where we can find stories about you and Harvey. There have been a few. And I want to definitely share with people a little bit about just that you two have a history, and that this incident was really, really inappropriate. So again, we're talking with Aaron and Stephanie Voris, who tried to go to a restaurant in Nashville, were refused service because the restaurant's manager decided he knew more about the ADA than the disabled veteran who's been using the service dog for 4 years now?
Almost
4 years now. And this is obviously very much a gross misinterpretation and misuse of the ADA by the manager. But then to kind of heap insult onto injury, a news article was done about it. that completely blew the story and took the manager's side and quoted the ADA. The manager quoted the ADA, and it made it seem like the manager had a good case. That's not the case. And something that really, you know, and I'm guilty too. I read the story. I did say when I posted about it that given the information that was available, it looked like the manager was right. But there really wasn't a lot when reading it. There wasn't a lot from you guys. The reporter totally took the manager's side. It was bad reporting. This was straight up bad reporting. And that misrepresentation in the media of legitimate dog handler teams, legitimate veterans who absolutely need their life-saving medical device, their service dog. We've got to attack this. We have got to change the media's knowledge of the ADA so that we can influence the public's knowledge of the ADA. So tell me a little bit. I've seen a couple of the positive articles, Stephanie. You sent them to me. Tell me a little bit about those stories.
In short, Harvey gives Aaron that comfort to be able to be around a crowd, and we talked about that. Aaron was able to speak on behalf of Soldiers and Families Embrace in Clarksville, Tennessee, next to a state senator back in 2015. I believe that was the year. Forgive me, I'm going off of memory. And, you know, back in 2017, we had a great piece that was done here in Cookeville by our Cookeville City paper. It made the front page. And ironically, in that article, Aaron tells the person, the journalist, exactly what Aaron tells this restaurant owner a year later. The dog helps me with walking, and he helps me with seeing. The same thing. And so clearly we have records how to describe what the dog got for us. The article was very positively written and spread to the community. A lot of people know Harvey here, thank goodness for that. But I will admit, since this event has happened, I worry about people, you know, refusing us service again. I mean, it's been a nightmare. But back to Harvey, that incident, and since the positive article was written, there was actually a Harvey Fund that has started here in the community by just a wonderful woman, and she does therapy dogs, okay, something completely different,
yes,
for cancer patients. And when she learned about service animals, she said, tell me more. And then once I told her, she just fell in love with Harvey. She fell in love with Aaron. And so this Harvey Fund, that's named after Harvey, is for any veteran that goes to Tennessee Tech here in Cookeville or Volunteer State here in Cookeville and have a service dog. And your medical bills will be paid, not the veteran, but the service dogs. Veterinary bills will be paid by this grant, paid, you know, named after Harvey. So this is really cool.
Really, that's cool. Fantastic. Do you have a web address or a way to find the Harvey Fund?
I think I sent you the link to that, but let me pull it up real quick online.
Yeah, remember, we're recording for the radio show, so we have to share that information.
Right. I apologize.
It's okay.
Right.
I love that the show is, you know, that you're comfortable, like we're just sitting with a cup of coffee and having a conversation. That's really what I want. I want comfortable conversations with my friends about living life with service dogs.
So I pulled it up. It is Harold. Is that a hyphen? I feel like I'm very ignorant right now. harold-citizen.com/Harvey-fund-established-help-student-veterans, 18487.
Oh, student veterans, comma, 187?
18487.
And for those listening, I'll make sure that this information is included in the podcast link. easily findable. Stephanie, in follow-up, if you could make sure, double-check that you sent me those links to those stories so that we can get all this information out to people. That's really fantastic. Leah, Tadsaws received a lot of blowback over this story, and it's very obvious that Harvey is a well-trained service dog. Aaron and Stephanie were completely in the right. The story was taken way out of context in order to make the restaurant manager look good. So let's get some positive, correct information out about Tadsaw. Tell me about the program.
Tadsaw is a nonprofit organization that started up in 2011, and we have almost 900 accredited teams now.
Mm-hmm. And what does that accreditation mean?
Okay, so when we get a veteran, if they have a dog of their own, we temperament test that dog, and if the dog meets the criteria, meaning that through threat tests and all other kinds of tests that we do, loud noises, what they tolerate, that they're friendly and social no matter what situation they're put in, mm-hmm. that they don't stress, become fearful, or aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Then we begin training with the veteran weekly to teach the dog basic obedience and to become well-behaved enough to start public access. They'll learn tasks with the veteran. Depending on what the veteran needs, we have some standard tasks that we teach, but we also add more tasks for that veteran's specific needs.
Mm-hmm.
So not every veteran has seizures. If they need a seizure alert dog, then we train the dog for seizure alert, which, as you know, is mostly a natural instinct.
Right.
Is through the bond, they mm-hmm. pick up on something is not right, and we just have to modify it. I mm-hmm. had one dog that liked to jump up, and we had to teach him that wasn't appropriate, you know, to kind of jump up as a last resort if the veteran's not responding to the leg tap or the shove towards a chair or a door.
I call the jump up level 3, and that's when I've lost it and Skeeter's keeping me from doing something wrong.
Yes, and I do have to explain to my veterans, if you're missing their alerts, they're going to go to extremes, whether it's mm-hmm. a bark or jump up to let you know, you need to pay attention to me, I'm telling you something.
Yeah.
But once they complete all the basic and advanced obedience, we begin public access.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll start training at Walmart, the mall, Lowe's, Home Depot, places like that, in different situations to get the dog to what we feel is standard training. So all of my dogs complete all of the AKC tests. So they take the AKC Canine Good Citizen test, the Advanced AKC Canine Good Citizen test, the Community Canine, and the Urban Canine test.
Excellent.
And Tadsaw also kind of combines those and comes up with the Tadsaw Public Access Temperament Test.
Mm-hmm.
So we test with elevators, stairs, crowds, small spaces, entering and exiting buildings, entering and exiting the car, sitting politely for petting, ignoring people that are trying to pet. Part of our test is I'll have my kids walk down the aisle and pet the dog while the dog is in either a sit or a down stay.
Mm-hmm.
And the dogs ignore those people walking by petting them and still paying attention to their veteran.
Yes.
And then we do a lot of group training. So biggest thing I see with service dogs that are not properly trained is you walk in with another service dog and they're lunging and barking and whining and wanting to go play with that new dog that just came in the store.
Mm-hmm.
So we train as a group a lot to teach our dogs to ignore other dogs.
Right.
And I hear comments a lot that a service dog distracted won't alert to a medical disability or they'll miss an alert. We don't have that issue because we train with lots and lots of distractions all the time. So we had an incident where we had 10 veterans together and one had a seizure and all 10 dogs stopped working and started looking at that veteran like something is wrong. And I told the veteran, take a seat, something's wrong. And I knew that veteran had seizures and that when the dog's no longer following their commands, something is up. Mm-hmm. And I've learned to watch all my veterans, and after about 2 or 3 months of working with them, I get to know them pretty well, and I know their dogs pretty well, and I know when to tell them they need to take a break, that something's up.
Yeah.
And shortly after, all the dogs kind of started looking at her and whining and spinning circles on the leash, I was like, something is not right, and we're not paying attention to what's not right.
Yeah.
That veteran actually fell over and had a major seizure. She actually had 3 in a row before she came out of it. But that's something I love to see, is that all 10 of these dogs, like as soon as the veteran came out of the seizures and was fine, bam, right back to work with their veteran.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I see with my dogs, is that no matter what is going on around them, they're picking up on it. And actually, while that veteran was having the seizure, it triggered a panic attack in one of the other veterans, and his dog no longer cared about the veteran having a seizure and went right back to his veteran.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that shows that they can have distractions going on and still pick up on an alert with proper training.
Yep, absolutely.
But I don't go by a specific time frame. Each veteran is different.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some veterans that complete the program in 3 months, and I have some that I work with for 2 years.
How long did it take you, Erin?
I think you were 7 or 8 months. Before you and her.
Yes, that's it. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, okay. Fantastic. But it sounds like you had a really good foundation to build on with Harvey.
Yeah,
absolutely. And yeah. A big reason it took extra time was because the wife was in college and working and completely drive with the peripheral vision issues. So blame the wife.
Now, you remember when you went to court and the judge told you that Harvey wasn't acting like a service dog, and so I went to your next court with you, and what it was the court had Erin so anxious, and I saw it from the moment he walked in the door. I was like, he is nervous and scared. He's in front of a judge. He's nervous.
Yeah.
Well, the judge had only seen eye dogs, which, you know, seeing eye dogs don't do much. They lay behind their beside their hamster and wait until they're ready to move, and then they do their seeing eye dog.
Mm-hmm.
Where Harvey was being a PTSD dog. He knew that Erin was not okay, and he would jump up on Erin and tell him, hey, I'm right here, pay attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so the judge called me up to the front and actually asked me the difference between a PTSD service dog and a seeing eye dog. And he said, you know, I just expected him to lay at his feet and not do anything, and I couldn't understand why he kept getting up. And I asked him, is that really a service dog? Well, his daughter happened to be in the courtroom and was writing up a paper about service dogs for veterans with PTSD. So he was like, I'm going to use this as an educational speech for my daughter so she can write her paper. And it worked out really good. The judge was amazed with all the things that Harvey could do and understanding why Harvey was jumping up on Erin. Erin calmed down and Harvey went through a down stay at his feet. And he said, that's amazing, you know, that he will go right back to being a completely obedient dog.
Once the handler responds, yes. That's something, you know, people have said, why do you let your service dog do that? And I'm going, do what? Well, he just pushed you away. Yeah, he's alerting. You're making me, you know, you're making me nervous. He's doing his job. He doesn't want me to punch you, you know?
Right.
Well, folks, thank you so much, all three of you, for joining me. It's good to get the true story, and I'll make sure that we get this true story out, both here in this radio show. I will also be publishing a piece on PTS Dogs. Yes.
Can I add one thing?
Please.
Just for those that are listening that aren't as up to date on the ADA as you and I, I wanted to point out that you look up any lawsuit from the government onto a restaurant, just in particular, this was voluntary compliance agreement between the USA and Mercy College. Mm-hmm. This was back in 2016. If there is an exhibit, there's a form called Exhibit A, and I just want to let folks know that if you read Exhibit A and you read what a service animal does, it says doing work, and I won't read the whole paragraph, but it does say doing work or performing tasks for people with TI, etc. And then it even says with intellectual or cognitive disabilities locate misplaced items, etc. And so for him to say that cognitive disabilities are not covered by the ADA, he was wrong. Mm-hmm. He was wrong. He was wrong.
Absolutely. And you know what? I tell you, I feel for you. I have been refused access and had to file complaints. And I know this is difficult, challenging, but the outcome is that the next veteran who wants to go eat at that restaurant will be treated correctly. And that's the goal. That is absolutely the goal.
Thank you both for your support with us. Thank you.
Thank you. You betcha. And I'm 100% in your corner on this. I want to get the true story out there and kind of thumb my nose at the quote-unquote media who threw you guys under the bus. They were wrong, and it was ugly. And I will correct my error in jumping on the bandwagon. You've been listening to the Service Dog Show with PTS Dog. My guests were Aaron and Stephanie Forrest and Leah Patterson. We talked about an incident they had trying to go into a restaurant in Nashville, Tennessee, where they were refused service. Right here on DV Radio, WDVR.